reminder, there's plenty of room down the far end of the main strand.
And as the man on the public address speaks, the stewards at the aforementioned far end of the main stand are desperately trying to relay the news that a full evacuation of the far end is already underway due to the chronic overcrowding. They have started passing infants out over the fence to the on-field mares, and matters reach an altogether terrifying stage when a few teenagers, fresh from oxygen, begin to crowd surf their way to safety. In his ivory tower, the man on the public address continues to direct patrons, as he calls them, to the far end of the main stand, oblivious to the mayhem his exhortations are causing. But sure, as they say locally, that's him all over. Master of all he surveys. A preeminent figure in his immaculately maintained county board blazer. Poised for action with a couple of fuckle, a late change, and a key foie gras about the county board lotto. Styles vary from place to place. He is nothing if not resourceful. In one west of Ireland town, Gordon notices about cars causing an obstruction have long since lost their capacity to shock. And so the man in the public address, who spends his winter calling the bingo numbers, announces that
the owner of a salmon-coloured Toyota Avensis should return to his car immediately. He has it parked on,
names the dodgiest street in town,
and the window's open.
Suddenly, from behind the goal, a man comes running. Three or four of his neighbours trailing behind him, vaulting over outstretched legs, low walls, and all other potential restraining obstacles, in a bid to secure their car before it ends up on blocks. Upon arriving, they note the window fully sealed and the notebook of a local Garda fully open, his curiosity pricked by the obstructive placement of this vehicle on a tight corner. There are other good uses for the man in the public address too. It is not unknown for certain parcels of information to be presented in such a manner as to whisk the home supporters up into an agitated state before the throw-in. The Fitzgerald Stadium man might start, slowing his words down as patrons wonder if the rumour is true.
There is one change on the Kerry team,
he continues.
Number 13, Gene Farrell, does not play.
Pause, ostensibly to show respect to poor old Genie.
And his place will be taken.
Further pause.
In the right corner forward position,
he holds.
But not wearing the number 13 jersey.
Again he holds, breathes in, calls on all his experience, which tells him there is no need to rush into this magnificent moment until patrons start to turn around and fix the general press box area with angry looks, as if they feel they're being taken for a ride. And they are.
By Maurice Fitzgerald.
And then the whooping, the cheers, the hum of 35,000 fans digesting the news, the timely boost to his own county, and the man in the public address sits back. Smugger than a politician who's bought the vote, silently grateful to the county selector who gave him the word the night before, allowing him a full morning to rehearse the announcement so often he's confident he has never previously achieved such impeccable timing. For that all too brief moment, he is the sentry on horseback, carrying news of dramatic developments coming down the line. And it feels good. His greatest hour, and it helps him forget the discomfort that accrued from his untimely intervention just 2 weeks earlier, when he announced,
Dublin, Law 2, Westmead, no score.
Just as a 19-year-old debutante was running up to a crucial free, causing him to duff his kick. He's glad to put that one behind him now.
Down at the far end of the main stand are asked to push together a little closer to allow other patrons gain seating. Thank you.